Shanti. Today is 4th of April 2018, Wednesday. Today's blessing is, may you become an embodiment of power and worthy of worship, being who has said farewell to all the vices by being a constant yogi who is becoming pure. All the children have received two blessings from the Father. First, may you be a constant yogi. Second, may you be pure. Those children who experience these blessings in their lives all the times are not yogis for just 2 or 4 hours, but they are constant yogis. They are not pure only sometimes, but they are pure all the times and have said farewell to all the vices. It is not that they sometimes have anger or attachment. No vice will allow you to be an embodiment of remembrance. Such yogis are embodiment of power, and those who remain constantly pure are worthy of worship. So, Baba is focusing on two things. First, be a constant yogi. And second, purity. Pure and purity or yoga. So, these are the two things. Both of these things, two things, whether it is yoga or whether it is purity. Yoga should be constant, nirantar. Purity should be every day, every hour, every minute. It is not that somebody is impure for one day, then he will come in the list of pure souls. Purity means always pure. Not to become pure, impure even for one day. Not to become impure even for 10 minutes. Not to become impure even for 10 seconds. Even if somebody is impure for 10 minutes or 10 seconds, he is not going to come in the list of pure souls. And yoga means constantly yogi. It's not that only when somebody has come in Madhuban that time yoga is constant, or somebody is in Madhuban that time one is yogi, and the moment you go to your room, your house, your office, you are not yogi. That is not the definition of yogi soul. Yogi means nirantar. Yogi means constant. Yogi means that incessant flame of yoga burning deeply within the heart. Yoga. Yogi means who has perpetual, perennial connection with the Supreme Father. His connection is never gone. That constant flow or current of yoga going on is yoga. So Baba is telling, you have received these two things as a blessing. You have not made any efforts for these. These things have come to you hands down. The moment you have taken birth, you have received these blessings. You have not sat down in tapasya and did some strenuous practices or arduous efforts. No. The moment you have taken birth, the moment you are born, Father has given you these two blessings. May you be a yogi. And may you be a constantly pure soul. Those children who experience these blessings in their lives all the times are not yogis for just 2 or 4 hours, but they are constant yogis. They are not pure only sometimes, but they are pure all the times. And they have bid farewell to all the vices. It is not that one vice is there that time, or one or two vices are coming. No. Baba is saying all the vices. Recently, whilst talking with Kumars in last Sunday's Murli, Baba said, it is not that you will go back to the previous life. Once you have given up, means you have given up. Once you have relinquished something, means you have relinquished it for the whole life. You cannot take back those things which you have renounced. Tena tattvena bhugnita. Upanishad says, enjoy the things of the world by giving them up. Very paradoxical statement, but it's a very beautiful thing. Tena tattvena bhugnita artha. It means you enjoy things. How do you enjoy? By giving them up. That is the best way to enjoy them. All the delicacies of this world, which are in fact obstacle in the path of a yogi, you enjoy them by giving them up. So, yogi means constant yogi. Yogi means whose yoga is unbroken. That is constant yogi. And second thing, purity means you have bid adieu you have bid farewell to all the vices. It's not that those vices keep on coming and coming and coming and coming. It's not that the lusts keep on coming and coming and coming. And then again you are making efforts to become pure. Then again you are raising the thoughts of purity. Again you are invoking swamans or self-respect of purity. Baba is saying you are perpetually pure, eternally pure, originally pure. Recently in Shantivan, last seasons, this last terms, Murli, Baba reminded us of our five forms or four forms or four periods. The first period, eternal period, you were pure, you were shining star, you were very much near to the Father. When you came down, eternal, those beginning period, that time also you were very pure. None is worship like you. Even whilst in from the copper age, your pictures and your worship was the highest in the world. And even in this confluence age, you are eternally pure. Because you have taken birth through purity. So all the four forms, or even your future form of an angel, that is also so pure. So reminding oneself of our five forms, getting stabilized in its remembrance, is a way to attain the lost purity. So no voice will allow you to become an embodiment of remembrance. Such yogis are embodiment of power, Shakti Swarup. Those yogis who are such yogis, those who are constant and those who have constant purity, are worthy of worship. So two things, first yoga and second purity. Both things, these are the foundation stones of our Brahmin life. If, and even more important than yoga, I will say purity. Purity is the most important thing. If this is getting broken on and off, you cannot achieve powerful stage of yoga. And the principle of purity is broken. There are gross impurity and there are certain subtle impurities. There are certain emotional impurities where you are excessively attached to some soul, where you have emotional dependence on some soul. If there is a emotional slavery, a sort of, these all things are emotional impurities. Or one is verbose, one is too much talkative, even that is a stress of impurity. Because pure souls means silence, pure souls means solitude. Pure souls is not a soul who is given to all those verbal diarrhea. Pure souls are taciturn soul, reticent souls, those who know to hold back their horses. Those excessive anxiety, excessive fear, excessive, there are certain souls who are always in haste. These are also signs of impurities. In the life of Mahatma Buddha, there is one event. There was one family in one village. And there was 8-year-old boy, and till the age of 8 he was not talking. His parents were worried, his mother was worried, this boy is not talking, why is he mute, is he born dumb, why is he like that? So they wanted, Mahatma Buddha arrives in that village, so they go and they plead him. They say that, please, we solicit that you come to our house and you look at, see our boy. He is not talking at all. So Mahatma Buddha goes there and he calls that boy and he asks him, why you don't speak? That 8-year-old boy. And that is the first time he speaks 12 shlokas. 12 Sanskrit or in Pali language. Sanskrit or Pali, I don't remember. He speaks 12 shlokas. And he says, what is the use of speaking? Can speech describe God? Since birth he had not spoken. And the first thing he speaks is in front of this. No, it is not Mahatma Buddha, it is Shankaracharya, sorry. It is Shankaracharya, it is not Buddha. So in front of Shankaracharya, for the first time this boy speaks 12 shlokas. And he describes in those shlokas, who is God? and how it is indescribable, and what is the point of describing him? Unnecessary speech is useless, so why should I speak? So that boy was not speaking on its with his own accord, with his own will. It's not that he did not know speaking, he knew speaking, but he was still not speaking. And this Shankaracharya requests the parents, ki please give me this boy, because he recognizes the high spiritual caliber of this child. From such a small age, who develops such vairag, who has such an intense understanding, wisdom, viveka, he takes up that boy. And later on, this boy becomes one of the foremost disciples of Shankaracharya. And he was named Padma Amlaka, something like that. Padma Amlaka, who becomes the head of the Dwarka monastery. Shankaracharya establishes four monasteries in four places, Charpit. So he looks after the Dwarka monastery and later on. So such stories are given. So I was talking about purity. Purity has many, many dimensions. It is, lust is just one aspect of it. It is something related to brahmacharya. But brahmacharya alone is not purity. Total purity means 100 things are there in that, not just brahmacharya. But yes, brahmacharya is the very foundation of it. If you remove brahmacharya, purity cannot be there. So the first thing is brahmacharya, and then later on multiple things like silence is purity, solitude is purity, deep introversion is purity, taciturn nature is purity, introversion is purity, introspection is purity. So principle of purity should not get broken by anything. Body conscious vision is purity. A soul conscious vision is purity, while body conscious vision is impurity. Emotional attachments is impurity, while, as Baba said to Kumaris, means swatantra, free. That means purity. To get bound to the body, to get bound to souls, people, places, objects, facilities, time, anything is impurity. Purity is described in Bhagavad Gita, has been compared to like air. You should be like air, which is not at one place. It is always moving. It doesn't stay at one place. A pure soul is somebody who is like this air, who keeps on moving from one place to another. It's like river. River doesn't stay. River doesn't stop. It keeps on moving and flowing and flowing and flowing and meandering. Ultimately it reaches water. It reaches the ocean, because it that is its destination. Pure souls are like that. If the air is locked in this room, it will become stuffy. You will feel stifled when the moment you enter in such a room. That's why pure souls means who keep on going and going and going and going. They flow. The life is in the stage of influx, flux, moving. Don't stop. Don't stop even to keep on contemplating on the past. This should not happen, that should not have happened. To keep on repenting for the past is not purity. Purity is a stage of extreme lightness. Purity is a stage of transport. Purity is a stage of bliss. Purity is a stage of lightness. Purity is a stage of burden-free mind. Purity is a stage where vices you have already left behind, but now even this subtle bondages, subtle prisons, subtle cages, subtle chains, and that soul alone knows that I am getting higher and higher and higher, and I am going up, and I don't want any fresh bondages. I don't want to create new bondages. I want to get rid of all that which is already there. This is the stage of purity. Purity is a very, very subtle phenomenon. And only the soul who is moving ahead in the path of purity knows that I am getting more and more purer each day. He experiences that himself, that my purity is increasing day by day. Purity is an experience, it is not theory. Purity is a stage of God's love. Purity means your love for God is increasing. Purity means your acceptance of thing is increasing. You don't reject anything. All those things which earlier were barriers, which earlier were hindrances, now you don't see them as impedance. You see them as a stepping stone, as we were discussing yesterday. So everything, whatever there is in this world, you don't reject anything. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You accept souls, you accept situation, you accept circumstances. You accept everything that is going on. And you yourself are unaffected by anything, uninfluenced. Such an unflappable stage of the mind, such immovable, unshakable, unflinching stage of the mind is the stage of purity. So purity is an experience, a deep experience. And you cannot read about purity, you cannot talk on purity, you cannot have any saying on purity unless and until you have experienced it yourself. Because it is an internal metamorphosis. It's an internal transformation, a deep internal experience. Yoga. Once a soul who is pure, he is already automatically in yoga. Because then your mind doesn't go wander here and there. Your mind doesn't go to all those worldly people, embodied beings. Because you know that that is the path of falling down. Now you don't want to traverse that path. You want to go on this new path. Probably untrodden, but still you want to venture. Make the basis of two things very strong. Because these are the two blessings, Yogi Bhava and Pavitra Bhava. Yoga, how to make it constant, how to increase the chart, what are the things which are breaking my yoga, what are the obstacles in my yoga. Is it the lack of chintan? It is the lack of jnana? What is it, that point? There must be something. The moment you sit down in yoga, the mind starts gadding around, moving around, strolling, some mental imaginations, some fantasies, some pull, some smritis, some memories. Something is there which is pulling you, some attraction, something is there which is dragging you, something is there that makes your mind drift off. What is that? Find out. Find out the triggers which are responsible for breaking yoga. And make yoga powerful, one. Second, what are the triggers of impurity? What are the sensual and what are the sexual triggers? Is it audio? Is it video? Is it text? Is it message? Is it book? Is it dress? Is it body? Is it vision? Body conscious vision? Is it something from social media? What is it? Is it clothes? What is it? What are the sensual triggers? What are those triggers? When they come, purity is broken. And then the person is left behind, frustrated, repenting. It might get broken in the sleep. It might get broken in the day. At the level of thought, at the level of vision. Anywhere. There must be some trigger. Some triggers to find out triggers for breaking of yoga. What are the triggers for breaking, breakage, violation, or breach of purity? What are the things? There must be at least find out 5 triggers. They are responsible. Every now and then person makes pledge of purity and suddenly a trigger comes and he falls down. What is it? Find out and finish it off once and for all. Okay, so remember these two blessings, Yogi Bhava, Pavitra Bhava. Om Shanti.